As I'm sure you know, when they plan these readings, they follow the gospel. They have a cycle with the gospel. And then they try to find an Old Testament reading or to, like from Acts or places to throw light on that. And then the second reading often goes its own way. But during Easter time, that way is more intimately linked with the other readings. So whenever I hear these lines, they left the presence of the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. It recalls, I used to live in Rome, and La Petite Sœur Madeleine, who founded the Little Sisters, you know, of the poor, wanted me to work with her. I was glad to do that. And so I was working with these street preachers, American kids, who were preaching on the streets. And a pastor said, "Would you come out to my parish?" And we said, "Sure." Then we found out that it's probably the most communist parish in the whole darn diocese. No wonder. I mean, of course he needed help, you know. So we were driving out there, and we just were all filled with joy, thinking maybe we're going to suffer for the, you know, really it was a grace of the Spirit, you know. But we thought, boy, maybe we're all going to suffer when we get out there for the sake of the name. Well, of course, the kids were bearing witness, and people were translating for them. And these communists were like lambs, you know. These kids were just so in love with the Lord, you know. And so much for that, we didn't suffer anything out there. And then always this vision of reality. What's really going on? Right now, what's really going on? There are millions and millions of people and uncountable numbers of angels surrounding the throne, with the Father on the throne and the Lamb standing there, still bearing the marks of his slaughter. He never renounced them. So he's standing there still proud of the marks, the scars that he got out of love for us. You see? And that's what's going on up there. And so then we come to the gospel. Now, I thought when I was looking at this gospel, this is great, you know, because it's a treatise on authority, really, especially the second part, where our Lord is asking Peter, "Do you love me?" Now, why was he asking that? As Peter said, "You know I love you." Yeah, but he wants to hear it. You see, because the secret of leadership is a divine affection for Jesus. That's the key. You see? Because then he can ask whatever he wants and we'll do it, and he can be the leader. And so he just wants to hear it from Peter. You know, "Yes, Lord, I love you." It also, as everybody points out, it makes up for the three denials too, which is good. But the whole text, if we had time, we don't. But I wish we did. If you want to skip breakfast, we could have time. But the translations are a little bit awkward because of, you're like, "Children." No, "Boys. Have you caught anything?" Well, you're not allowed to say "boys" anymore. So you have to say "children," because maybe the girls are out there fishing, I guess. They never are, but not in that culture anyway. So, "Boys, have you caught anything?" "No." That's pretty embarrassing when you've been, you know, all night long rowing that boat around. You know how they fish there, you know? The net's off the back of the boat, and they row in tightening circles, tightening the net. In fact, I don't know if you have, nowadays, if you go, they found a first century fishing boat in the mud down deep under the lake, and it was perfectly preserved. So you can see, you know, it's about as long as, oh, I don't know, yeah, about three rows down from me, you know. It's about that big, maybe a little smaller. Very well, the one we have there is very well made. So anyhow, then, of course, the same rhythm you always get, John with the insight and Peter with the energy. You know, John says, that's the Lord. Peter says, wow, and he jumps in. And then after, and the Lord had prepared their breakfast. It was already fish cooking when they got there. Well, there was nobody else around. So the Lord, the risen Lord, the Lord of glory, had built a fire, must have caught a fish, and was preparing something for them to eat. I'm trying to say all that because in these questions is the secret to leadership. It's affection for Jesus. That's what makes a real leader. Because he's listening to Jesus, and he'll work for Jesus. And if he has to, he'll die for Jesus. You see, and so our Lord, he knows Peter loves him, of course, as Peter says, but he wants to hear it from his own lips, you know. So I thought, what a great meditation for us. We're leaders, I guess. And so the way to be a better leader is to love him more. Well, to love him more, you have to get to know him better. So there is a text. I remember I had just defended my thesis in Rome. And I'd been living in Jerusalem. I came over for the thesis, and I was going to stay maybe a week or 2 weeks, and see all my friends, go out to supper. I had it all planned out. And then the Lord said, right after I defended the thesis, I want you to go on retreat. I said, okay. I mean, what do you say? So I was way up in the Abruzzi Mountains. There was still snow on the ground. It was April. And I made a retreat. It was a beautiful retreat. I was in a convent saying the mass for them. They needed somebody anyway, so it worked out. And one morning, I was reading and praying. And all of a sudden, do you love me? I said, yeah. But I got to tell you, Lord, you know, the way he put it to me was more like this. Suppose all your friends denied that I was the Son of God. Would that rock you? Suppose all the professors did. Would that disturb you? Suppose the Pope. I thought, I got scared. I thought, God. And then into my mind came John 14:21. Just came into my mind. If anybody loves me, he'll keep my commandments. And I will love him. And first the Father will love him. And then I will love him, and I will show myself to him. And just so clear, the way to revelation is obedience to Jesus. But not an abstract obedience, an affectionate obedience. And that's been my sort of theme song ever since then. You know, at least I don't do it all the time, but I try. You know, but if you love me, you'll do what I tell you. And I can guide you through that to union with me. And that's the secret of leadership. See, we obey and we lead from affection. And that's a divine affection given to us by the Holy Spirit. And so we love Jesus. And that's the secret, because if we love him, we can hear him. And if we hear him, we'll do what he wants. Well, he wants to run the community, doesn't he? Well, then, please, Jesus, go ahead. But he'll do it through those who are the leaders, you know. So the secret is, you see, because what happens if we love him and keep his commandments? See? The Father loves us. And we know it. We know it. The Father loves us. He can get a hold of us and sit us down and show himself to us for hours on end if he wants to. And that'll change our lives, I promise you. you know. The Father will love him. And then I will love him. And then I will show myself to him. And so the way from point A to point B is obedience to Jesus, minute by minute, if we can possibly do that, you know, but as much as we can. That's the way to enlightenment, you see. And so when he's asking Peter about love, you see, he's saying, can you love me enough to do what I tell you? If you do, you'll be a leader. You'll be a pope, you know. And in and through you, I will run this church. But it takes this divine affection. And ever since I've learned that, I guess I haven't always practiced it, but at least I understand that the way to enlightenment and the way to leadership is to have a divine affection for Jesus and do what he tells us. And he tells us, as you know, lots of little things, you know. They look little. I remember the Father, I was sitting on the beach, and the Father said to me, I want you to ask yourself this question. What happened when that man died? So I started on a pilgrimage. I read the Passion accounts. I read this, you know. What happened when that man died? You see, that's when the floodgates of all of this mystery was opened up. So that we can have a divine affection for the Father. We can love the Father with the same affection that Jesus has, right? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives us that capacity to say, Abba. But it's an Abba that comes from the depth of our spirit because we see him. We don't see him, but we... And that's union with Jesus. When I looked at this, I said, oh, we're going to have a good time. I just have to not preach too long. But you see, the secret of leadership is a divine affection for the Father. And that comes from letting the Lord form us so that we love him. And that took Peter to martyrdom. I didn't tell you that part of the story, did I? The kids, when we were going out there, these little preachers, they couldn't. I had to do all the preaching because they didn't know Italian, you know. But anyway, oh, they thought of this text we had in Acts. That's what I wanted to tell you about. Oh, where it says they were worthy to suffer for Jesus, huh? And they were thinking, oh boy, maybe we're going to suffer for Jesus. Really? You know? Well, as I told you, when these kids got up and started witnessing and somebody was translating for them, all these communists turned into lambs, you know, they were just won over. Well, let's stand and pray. You're going to...